system. Om Vinatamananda Syajana Jaya Sakaya Chakshus Militan Jainatasman Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jainabhutale Sayam Vipakadamayam Gagati Sapanam. Once a couple of years, keep us in the way of a child, teaching them, putting a real way to make it. Krishna has just completed his killing of Agasura. Then he has dealt with Lord Brahma. Brahma had stolen the calves and the boys from Krishna to see, to test Krishna's potency. And Krishna had staggered him with just a fragment of his energy. All Krishna shows is a fragment of his energy. No one can understand the unlimited potencies of Krishna. So with some of his energies, he expanded himself into the cows and the boys, then into universes, showing Brahma that every living entity worshipped him. And then Brahma presented his prayers to Krishna. 40 prayers, 40 slokas that comprise his prayers. And in these prayers, he expressed or acknowledged Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayanastam nahi savadehidam atmasvadisha kila lokishakshi. You are Narayano ango narabhu jalalayat. You are my father, actually, because Brahma's father is Gaudadatta Vishnu. Brahma is born of the lotus, which springs from the navel of Gaudadatta Vishnu. So he understood, Brahma understood that Gaudadatta Vishnu was just a part, and even Lord Narayan was just a part of Krishna. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam. Govindam Ari Purusha Tamaham Vajami. Now this word that Brahma uses in that prayer, Ari Purush, that also comes up in some of the verses that we shall hear today, if Krishna allows it to us to get to that. Because today you may think that it's the 29th of March. Did I get it right? Is it? 30th, okay. You may think it's the 30th of March, but actually it is Gopastami. Because on the Astami, the eighth night of, I think it's the waning moon, we'll find out exactly here, in the month of Damodara or Kartik, is the day where Krishna first takes the cows out. Previously, he had taken the calves. Perhaps we can jiggle those quietly, Palika. Or maybe sit back further then if it can't be quiet. Because on that day, Krishna becomes no longer a calf herdsman, a calf herd boy, but he's given responsibility for taking care of the cows themselves. He's a bit older now. And in this chapter, so it's the first day that Krishna brings the cows into the Vrindavan forest. So the verse begins. Tatascha, or the chapter begins. Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Tatas cha poganda vaya svitao vrade babhuvadastau pashubala samato gascharayanto sakibhi samanpada pindavanam punyam mativa chakratu. So Krishna has reached Poganda, the age of Poganda. The first 5 years or 4 years of Krishna's life, 5 years, is the Kishore, or the Kumar. And during those years, Krishna has his pastimes mostly with his very young boyfriends, but mostly with his parents, as children always do the first 5 years. They're very centered on their parents. So that is really the time for Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, and the other elderly gopis to have Krishna as their beloved. And then after that, or gradually even, Krishna begins to deal with his friends. And then after that, then he deals with girlfriends. But all these relationships, as we well know, are spiritual relationships. And Krishna is reciprocating with the specific kind of love that his devotees wish to offer him. There is nothing selfish in these activities. There is nothing of the material world. They are all simply meant to please Krishna. And Krishna and his intimate devotees, who are infused with Braja Bhakti, the special type of love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna, they perform their wonderful activities in Vrindavan and simply increase the ecstasy of Krishna, which is the desire of all the residents of Vrindavan, and they increase their own desire, because that is their own ecstasies, because that is the desire of Krishna. So when Sukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Rama, who is Lord Ram, Balaram, because that is the name given by Gauga Muni to Krishna's elder brother, Krishna Agraja. So that is Lord Ram, Balaram. So when Lord Balaram, Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Poganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Previously they were just tending the calves. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, so they went out with their boyfriends every day, and the thing to always remember in the midst of all these pastimes is that everyone loves Krishna and Krishna loves all the devotees. That is what is going on. It is simply an exchange of loving relationships, loving dealings with it. And that evokes within these spiritual personalities rasa, or the sweet ecstatic mellows of devotional ecstasy, different varieties of devotional ecstasy. So the Bhagavatam is written to bring us to the point to enthuse and inspire the hearers to get a glimpse of what is available for the soul in Goloka Vrindavan. And it is this intimate, all ecstatic, devotional, loving relationship with Krishna. So, whatever is going on in Vrindavan, we should see it as the exchange of ecstatic love. So, engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys, Krishna and Balaram, rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. In other words, they walked throughout Vrindavan, and since they were imprinting upon the land of Vrindavan their lotus footprints, what else do we know about how they walked? Yeah, which means that they didn't wear gumboots or Reeboks or any other accoutrements upon their lotus, soft lotus-like feet. They were imprinting the land of Vrindavan with their footprints, the dust of Vrindavan. And the dust of Vrindavan is thus considered all sacred because it has been marked with the footprints of all the residents of Vrindavan, but Krishna, Balaram, Srimati Radharani, Nandi, Yasoda, all the residents of Vrindavan. So it is holy, so holy. So it rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting it with the marks of their lotus feet. Here's the purport. Lord Krishna wanted to encourage his coward boyfriends. Who had been swallowed by Agasura and then stolen by Lord Brahma. So they had just been through difficult experiences, seemingly externally difficult experiences. Therefore, the Lord decided to bring them into the palm tree forest called Talavan. So that we'll hear about that later in the chapter. Where there were many delicious ripe fruits. And not only were there ripe fruits in the forest of Talavan, there was one asura, one demon whose name was Dunukasura, because his form was that of a donkey, an ass. And he was controlling that forest, and he didn't allow anyone to taste those fruits. So we have whenever there is a story, there has to be tension within the story between opposing elements. So the real story of the material world, the tension in the material world, which is going to show here, that what they say, the great tensions, the great struggles. In literature, a man against nature, man against man, and man against something else. Beasts, yes. So this one is going to be man or donkey against God. And we're going to know, and we know who's going to win this great struggle. It's actually Balaram. He's going to throw him into the tree, palm tree. Causing something very wonderful to occur. So Krishna wanted to bring them there. He inspired to bring them there to give them pleasure. Since Lord Krishna's spiritual body had apparently grown slightly in age and strength, because he was 5 years old, the senior men of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, decided to promote Krishna from the task of herding calves to the status of a regular cowherd boy. So what's the difference between someone who herds the calves, a young boy who herds the calves, and a young boy who herds the cows? The obvious. What is it? Okay, age of what? The boy? But okay, yes, but how about what his activity is? He's herding cows. So because cows are more difficult to control because they're so much bigger. And also the cows stay out all day long. And the calves don't go as far because they don't need as much nourishment. They don't need as much grass. So the calves don't go far and they come back during the day. But the cows go out early and they come back late around sunset. So Krishna was entrusted to take care of the cows. So how do you think? So Krishna was going to be with the cows all day. So how do you think the cows felt? So happy. Why? Because they were going to be with Krishna. But how do you think the calves felt? The calves were extremely... This is impossible for them to tolerate, as we hear. And how do you think the residents of Vrindavan felt, of the village of Vrindavan felt? They weren't going to see Krishna all day. Previously, he would go out for some time with the calves, but now they weren't going to see him all day. Very, very difficult. it is difficult, not difficult, impossible for us to imagine or conceive of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. He was everything. Without Krishna, they felt like they had no life in their bodies. And indeed, when we see, we'll hear in the next chapter even, when Krishna is caught by the snake Kaliya, the residents of Vrindavan, they went mad. They died practically because they could not tolerate to see Krishna in any difficulty, what to speak of being in a life-threatening situation. So when Krishna was gone during the day, and so in this way we get glimpses of what love for Krishna actually is. Mahaprabhu said, Shleshava Paravatam Panastumam, O Yugayitam Namesha, Namesha, a moment, a half a moment, an eighth of a moment, is like a yuga, thousands of years in your separation, without seeing you. So, this was a very momentous occasion, this Gopastami. So he would now take care of the full-grown cows, bulls, and oxen. Out of great affection, Nanda Maharaj had previously considered Krishna too small and immature to take care of full-grown cows and bulls. It is stated in the Kartik Mahatmya section of the Padma Puranas, Sukla Asmi, so that's the bright moon section of the month of Kartik, the Astami, not the Krishnastami, but the Sukla Astami. Kartika tu smita gopastami budhai tad dinad vasudeva obud gopa purvam tu vatsapa. The eighth lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik is known by the authorities as gopastami. So that's the second half of the month when the moon is waxing. From that day, Lord Vasudeva served as a cowherd, where previously he had tended the calves. So this is a very wonderful time. So Krishna has arranged this. Why? So because his pastimes were shifting, because he wanted to be with the boys more, and he wanted to have dealings, manifest some of his Kaishorlila, the dealings with the gopis of Vrindavan, when he went out. The word padai indicates that Lord Krishna blessed the earth by walking on her surface with his lotus feet. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that Krishna did this. He wanted to bless the earth, and especially Benedicta. Why? Because she was the one who had suffered so much the burden of all the military phalanxes. And therefore, it was her prayers, her desire, that she went to Brahma, and then Brahma prayed for the incarnation of Krishna to come. So the earth had suffered, so he wanted to, and it was because of her call that he came. So Krishna wanted to bless her specially with the marks of his lotus feet. So this is also described in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, that in all other incarnations, the Lord of Vaikuntha, he always wears shoes, and he's always in his Vaikuntha palaces. But and even Krishna, he doesn't, when he's either in his palaces in Dwarka or Mathura, but he doesn't walk around without his shoes, except in Vrindavan. So this is a special benediction of Vrindavan. Very, very unique. Because this is village. So Krishna walked around without his shoes to specially benedict the earth in his pastimes as Krishna. The Lord wore no shoes or other foot gear, but walked barefoot in the forest, giving great anxiety to the girls of Vrindavan. So this was another aspect of his walking around without shoes, because the ladies of Vrindavan, the young gopis especially, were thinking, and this comes out in the Gopi Gita, and especially in the Gopi Gita, that They're just simply wondering when Krishna's out in the forest. This is so terrible. But Krishna's, what is their anxiety when we think about what we are anxious about all day long? We can, you know, if we think about all the different anxieties that we have in a day, they tend to be somewhat self-centered. But the gopis' anxiety was, what happens if Krishna's feet, which are as tender as the buds of a lotus flower, so soft and so tender and pinkish, what happens if he steps upon a prickly ankur, a sprout of some seed? Or what happens if he steps on a thorn? There's thorns all over. Or what happens if he steps on a petal? His feet are so soft and it will cause him pain. And the thought of Krishna being inconvenienced, or Krishna experiencing some pain, was intolerable for them. This is the love of the residents of Vrindavan. It is full, it is complete. They don't mind themselves experiencing unlimited difficulty if somehow or another Krishna gets some pleasure from that. So this is the acme, the pinnacle of pure devotional service. The mood of the residents of Vrindavan, and especially the mood of the Vraja Gopis. So this is expressed here. The great anxiety was given to the girls of Vrindavan, who feared that his soft lotus feet would become injured. So here, a comment by Sridhar Swami. Now Lord Krishna takes his friends, who had been unnecessarily disturbed by entering into the mouth of the snake, and brings them to the forest full of palm trees, this was mentioned, which had many ripe fruits. He also explains that he was authorized now by Nanda Maharaj to herd the cows, because he had pretended to grow, because Krishna's body is eternal in every stage. So he had pretended to grow in age and strength. Sanatana Goswami says, Krishna and Balaram was served at the beginning of their sixth year, which was suitable for manifesting more transcendental mellows than previously, by the fates of Poganda. So everything serves Krishna. The particular age of his life serves Krishna. Everything. This is that same point, that everything in existence is meant to serve Krishna. He is the center. And due to false ego, ahankar, vamudharma, we are thinking we are the center. But no one else will agree with us that we're the center, because everyone is thinking they themselves are the center. So therefore there is no unity. There can be no unity in this world. And unless one places Krishna in the center. So authorized to tend the cows means that for the purpose of enjoying pastimes in the Vrindavan forest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his elder brother had for a long time maintained the desire to tend the cows. But that desire had not been sanctioned by Nanda Maharaj and the other elders out of the burden of affection. So whatever goes on in Vrindavan, whatever seems to be externally manifest, one should know there is only one thing going on in Vrindavan: the desire to love and serve and please Krishna. It's the only thing that goes on in Vrindavan. So out of their affection and fear, the natural parental emotion is fear for the welfare of their young children. So naturally, the Nanda Maharaj and the other elders, they withheld, even though Krishna wanted to go into the forest of Vrindavan with the cows for a long time. Because naturally, that's the nature of boys, too. They want to go further and further and further and stretch the boundaries. And Krishna wanted to expand the devotees that he was enjoying rasa with. So now they were sanctioned at the appropriate time, having manifest some growth in age and strength. The calves, who were protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite still drinking milk from their mothers, were unable to give up the Lord's association. And following these calves, the mothers and the bulls, and even those that were being held back, all went forward to be near the Lord. So the calves, when Krishna started taking the cows out, the calves didn't stay back. They refused to stay back. They went too. And the mothers, the cows, that the calves were drinking milk from, were different from the ones that Krishna was taking out. And the calves went, and the cows went. Those mothers of the calves went too, because no one, they could not tolerate being separate from Krishna. Just see what love is expressed in Vrindavan. They all went forward to be near the Lord. They would not go to the forest without him. So they wouldn't go with anyone else. They just wanted to be with Krishna. Krishna and Balaram would travel about in great affection. They were inseparable companions. Okay, we'll read the second text. Krishna is entering Vrindavan. Tan Madhavo Venum Udarayan Vrito Gopar Venad Bir Sayasho Balanvita Pasun Paraskritya Parasyavada Vistad Vihat Tukamam Kusamakaram Varam. Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes. So Krishna wants to enjoy pastimes with all his devoted, all the devotees. Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him. So where did they stay in relationship to the cows? They stayed behind the cows. Why? Why didn't they stay in front of the cows? Yeah, why did they have to see them? Yeah, because their duty is to protect the cows. They're entrusted with this responsibility. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Govamanya Tayacha. Krishna, this is Krishna's great love to care for the cows. So if he was walking in front, just playing with his friends, then the cows might wander off. And this was the very means of livelihood. All of Vrindavan rested, all the prosperity rested upon the cows. So the boys now were responsible. So Krishna, Madhava, he's called Madhava here. So he's desiring to enjoy his pastimes. Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories. They were singing the praise of Krishna. They were talking about Krishna. They were chanting his pastimes and activities. They would compose songs and poems about Krishna and just sing them all day long. So they were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, he kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. So what Vrindavan was like, because again, everything is centered around pleasing Krishna. So the cows were happy. Why were the cows happy? They were with Krishna. And the cowherd boys were happy. Why? Because they were with Krishna all day long. The calves who were with Krishna were happy. The bulls were happy. But who was unhappy? all the residents of Vrindavan who were left behind, they couldn't see Krishna for hours. And who else was happy? The forest of Vrindavan was happy. It was jubilant. Because why? First time, yes, but first time what? Huh? Meeting Krishna, but what is the essence of their desire to meet Krishna? To serve him. Because there were so many trees and grasses and birds and flowers and waterfalls and everything like that. And here is their opportunity to make the offerings of the fruit of their existence for Krishna's pleasure. And that is what Vrindavan is like. So this was their chance to make their offering to Krishna with great devotion. And we'll hear later how the fruit, the trees are bowing down their branches low to the ground as if offering fruits to whom? There. This picture is Krishna talking to Balaram when they're entering the Vrindavan forest. It was full of flowers. The flowers were jubilant and rich with nourishment for the animals. The grasses were fresh green grasses. Everything was luxuriant for Krishna's pleasure. Fragrant. Sweet breezes, cooling, beautiful, lush and resplendent, verdant flowers everywhere. What other things would make a forest wonderful? Chirping birds. What else? But not only chirping birds. Cool. Yeah, so many. There'd be chirping, there'd be so many different birds. And bees. And other animals, deer and peacocks. Yes, cuckoos. There's even cuckoos in Perth, especially downtown. Huh? These are special ones. The ones here are not very special at all. Huh? We see the wrong kinds of cuckoos, because that's what we deserve, being of that species ourselves. Yes, good point. Here is the purport here. Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained the various meanings of the word Madhava as follows, because it's Tan Madhavo Venum Udarayan Vrito. Madhava was playing his flute, sounding his flute, and then surrounded, Vrito Gopa, by all the gopas. So, the word Madhava has very deep meaning here. Madhava normally indicates Krishna to be the Lord, who is the consort of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. This name also implies that Lord Krishna descended in the dynasty of Madhu, because Madhu is a forefather of Krishna. Since the spring season is also known as Madhava, it is understood that as soon as Lord Krishna entered the Vrindavan forest, it automatically exhibited the opulences of spring, becoming filled with flowers, breezes, and a celestial atmosphere, heavenly atmosphere. Another reason Lord Krishna is known as Madhava is that he enjoys his pastimes in Madhu, the taste of conjugal love. Madhu, madhurya lila. But also all the, because madhu also means honey. Very sweet. So actually all the lilas of Krishna in Vrindavan are called madhurya lila. They're all full of the sweetness of braja. So these are all reasons. And Krishna is also called this maduram, vapavasya vibhur that Krishna's body is madhu, madhu, maduram. It is just full of such sweetness. Maduram, maduram, badaram, maduram. But within Krishna's body is his face, badaram, which is so sweet. Krishna's body is sweet, and Krishna's face is extremely sweet, so sweet, because it's beautiful hair, beautiful eyes, everything perfect, mouth, ears, everything, chin, dancing eyebrows. And then madhu vritya, mridu gandhi, mahor, maduram, 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 maduram. But the sweetest part of Krishna, and Krishna's face even, is Krishna's smile, which is very gently, it's a gentle smile, very gentle. And it is compared to the madhu gandhi, the fragrance. It is compared to the fragrance of honey. When we think of honey, we don't usually think of its fragrance. We think of its taste, but it has a subtle, wonderful fragrance as well. The fragrance of honey, and that is compared to Krishna's smile. That verse is from Madhula Mangala Thakur. Lord Krishna would loudly sound his flute as he entered the forest of Sri Vrindavan, thus giving inconceivable bliss to all the residents of his hometown, Vrajadham, because then they would know when Krishna would begin to play his flute, he would go out, and then when he would play his flute, they would know, oh, now Krishna is just entering the Vrindavan forest. These simple pastimes of playfully entering the forest, playing on the flute, and so forth, were performed daily in the spiritual land of Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami says, after a general description of how they tending the cows, and they were tending the cows and so on, now will come their variegated pastimes in detail, which was sweeter than the sweet. Tut indicates playing the flute with the sweetness of his beautiful bud-like lips for the purpose of giving joy to the residents of Vrindavan. This is why Krishna played his flute, by announcing his entrance into the forest. So that's one reason why Krishna played his flute, to give pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan by announcing his entrance into the forest. Or he played his flute due to his own rising of joy upon entering the forest, because he was feeling so much ecstasy. Upon entering Vrindavan forest, he began to play his flute, and that ecstasy was expressed through his bud-like lips. And came out in the form of the flute music. Avashisha entered means he entered, and that all the animals, birds, trees, and so on became absorbed in Lord Krishna. He completely filled their consciousness. Madhava incidentally implies, the name Madhava incidentally implies that he gave pleasure to that forest, just as the spring season gives it pleasure.
Tanmanjugo Salimriga Dvijakulam Mahamahan Prakya Payasaraswata Vatena Dustam Satapatra Gandina Narikshrantum Bhagavan Manodadhi.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest, which resounded with the charming sound of bees, animals, birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses. So the breeze coming over the water, the lakes, the crystal clear lakes, carried the fragrance of the lotus flower. So everything was being was meant for the enhancement of Krishna's pleasure to facilitate his pastimes. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. He decided to enjoy. So is that allowed? If we decide to enjoy, which is the tendency, and we'd like to perhaps go to Vrindavan so we can enjoy, but no. It is Krishna who is the enjoyer. This is his right. And he is the only one capable of enjoying, actually. And everyone else achieves their pleasure not by enjoying, but by serving his enjoyment. We have unlimited desire to enjoy, but we have extremely limited capacity to enjoy. But Krishna has unlimited desire to enjoy and an unlimited capacity to enjoy. In Jagannath Puri, Krishna eats how many times a day? 56 times a day. And if we would eat 56 times a day, that means every half hour approximately, even more than that, how many days would we live? Probably we wouldn't even make it through the first day. Krishna has an unlimited capacity to enjoy. And that, again, is what makes Vrindavan the spiritual world, is that everyone in Vrindavan, their pleasure, their happiness, not their duty even, but the greatest happiness is to give Krishna some enjoyment. That's their greatest happiness. So whatever they are, the lotuses have their way of offering Krishna pleasure. The bees have their way of offering pleasure. The deer have their way of offering pleasure. We'll hear about these as the verses continue. How does the grass offer Krishna pleasure? Huh? Yes. How else? It was translated that, to give you a hint. The nourishing, it was full of nourishing in the first verse. Yeah, to feed the cows. So how does that give Krishna pleasure? Because Krishna loves the cows. So when the cows are mooing in great satisfaction, then Krishna is so happy because that's his happiness. That his devotees are happy. So Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. In other words, the presentation made by the Vrindavan forest was so exquisite. It succeeded in arousing the desire for Krishna to enjoy it. This was their success of their arrangements. Just like a cook cooks the food, and the success of the cooking is when the people eating, they're inspired to taste it and enjoy it. That's the success of the cooking, to relish it. So therefore, the cooking is connected with how it is served and things like that, how it's put on the plate, the colors and this and that, not only just the taste. Because it has to, the fragrances, because it's meant to arouse the pleasure, the enjoying spirit, the tasting spirit of the people who are being fed. And that gives the cook happiness. When the people who are they're meant to be pleased, they enjoy it. So Krishna was so pleased. So therefore, all the paraphernalia of Vrindavan became more pleased because their offerings were accepted and Krishna wanted to enjoy it. So Krishna is entering the forest here. So what's there? The sound of bees, animals, and birds. He looked over that forest. There was a lake of clear water that resembled the mind of great souls. What does that mean? Huh? Yes, peaceful. And what's the difference between a peaceful mind and an agitated mind? A lake water is peaceful, clear and peaceful, not cloudy with mud. Very peaceful. So great souls. What is the word used here for the great souls? Huh? Mahat. Mahatmana. Prakya, resembling the mind of great souls. It was so calm and peaceful and clear. So seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. Purport. Lord Krishna saw that the Vrindavan forest was giving pleasure to all five senses. The bees, birds, and animals made charming sounds that brought sweet pleasure to the ears. The wind was faithfully rendering service to the Lord by blowing throughout the forest, carrying the cool moisture of a transparent lake, and thus giving pleasure to the sense of touch. So the sense of touch, or the feeling sense, is the biggest sense in the body. It's the skin, like that. So it covers the entire body. It has the sense of touch. So those are two senses right there. By the sweetness of the wind, even the sense of taste was being stimulated. Because fragrance and taste, because the wind was carrying the fragrance of lotus flowers and you could almost taste it. And we have that experience too. When you're cooking, one has to avoid this because you have the fragrance and then your mouth may even begin to, what do we feel that sometimes, you know, you're walking by and there's a real fragrance coming out of the kitchen or something. And because you can almost taste it. And the fragrance of lotus flowers was bringing pleasure to the nostrils. And the entire forest was endowed with heavenly beauty, which was giving spiritual bliss to the eyes. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has thus explained the significance of this verse. Sanatana Goswami says, Vatena, what does Vatena mean? Wind. Like Vayu, Vatena. The wind. Sanatana Goswami says, Drishtam, served. Drishtam here means, what is it? Served, yes. Served implies the greatness of the Vrindavan forest. For even Vayu, or the wind, was rendering service. Such a powerful, Vayu is one of the most powerful of all the gods, and it was happy to render service to Krishna in the spiritual world. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are also demigods, but they are not demigods of this world. They are not jivas. But that is their service. So seeing this greatness, casting his satisfied glance in all directions, Krishna turned his mind to pleasure. And with loving affection, he began to absorb his mind. The word Bhagavan implies that he desired to perform some pastimes to demonstrate his status as the Godhead. So Krishna, he mixes his pastimes of being a cowherd boy with activities that are superhuman. So later on in this chapter, he's going to perform superhuman activities in the killing of Dhunukasura. Actually, Balaram actually does it. But everything Krishna does is superhuman. It is beyond the capacity of any human being to perform. And then we'll read one more verse, and then we'll stop, and then we'll hear what Krishna's first words in the Vrindavan forest. So this verse is the fourth verse. Satatra tatra runa palavasriya phala pasunoru barena padayo sprishat chikan viksha vanaspatin muda
Smayaniva Hagrajam Adi Purusha.
The primeval Lord saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches, and thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. So after seeing all this and now seeing the trees which were laden with fruits bending down to touch his lotus feet, he's going to talk to Balaram. And here's the very short purport here. The word muda smayan eva indicates that Lord Krishna was in a joking mood. He knew that the trees were actually bowing down to worship him. But in the following verse, the Lord, speaking in a friendly, light-hearted mood, gives the credit to his brother Balaram. So we'll hear that, Krishna willing, tomorrow. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, the implication of the words Adi Purusha, the primeval Supreme Lord, is that even though Balaram, some of the acharyas take the Adi Purusha as descriptive of Lord Krishna, but here Sanatana Goswami takes the words Adi Purusha, or the original person, as Krishna saying that about Balaram, that you are the original person. So he says that the implication of the words Adi Purusha, the primeval Supreme Lord, is that even though Balaram is not actually the firstborn, the original, who is, even though he is called Krishna Agaraja, Krishna's elder brother, but he is not the firstborn. Krishna is the original person. It is befitting for the Lord to address him as such because he has been manifest as the firstborn for the particular purpose of his pastimes. The fact is that Krishna, being satisfied with the unique offering of obeisances by the trees, the Lord is desiring to reciprocate with them. He thus humbly directs them towards his own service on the pretext of showing honor to his elder brother. We'll speak more about this tomorrow. By describing these trees to Balaram, he first of all, on the occasion of his entrance into the forest of Vrindavan, shows special mercy to all those present by describing the various good qualities of those trees. So he's going to glorify the offering that the devotees have made. Srila Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, describing the superiority of the trees with the beauty of their reddish buds turned downward, touching his two feet implies his own super excellence, since it is not proper for himself to state that super excellence. So the trees were actually bending down to touch Krishna's lotus feet, but he can't glorify them for bending down and to touch his feet. Why? Because that's very crude. You are so wonderful because you are touching my feet. What wonderful service you are performing. No. Krishna is more clever than that. So he's going to speak indirectly by saying, oh, you're doing such wonderful service by bending down to touch the feet of Balaram, the Adi Purusha. But due to Krishna's lack of gravity, because of his feelings of ecstasy expressed by the word muda, he is unable to remain without speaking. He has to say something. Thus the Lord addresses Balaram as Adi Purusha, which is actually his own name. By the word Eva is implied that the Lord is concealing his own laughter, not actually laughing, but thinking, may my elder brother not understand that this glorification is actually addressed to myself. And then he's going to speak and say, you are so wonderful, you are touching the feet of Balaram, you are making your offerings to Balaram, but actually he's encouraging them because he knows the mind of the trees, that they are wishing to make these offerings to him. Huh?
Chatur.
Chatur? Yes. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Can you done with afraid of Krishna walking and putting his feet on thorns or
bending
too hard? Does that mean in the spiritual world there is some experience of pain, possibility of pain?
No, but without that sentiment, it would be, first of all, the Leela would be ruined. They have to have that fear, because this is how they express their love. for Krishna, because it's natural to, for someone you love, you fear they're experiencing any pain. But there's no, this is described later, that everything, Krishna says, don't worry, everything is made out of sudha-sattva, it's not made out of thorns of the material world.
Have some experience of thorns?
There's no experience of pain. It is not possible for Krishna to experience pain. It is not possible. No one can experience pain in the spiritual world. Just different varieties of pleasure.
There's only by the pricks your feet on the thorns.
This concept is there, but they have no experience of pain. Otherwise, they wouldn't be Satchidananda. The concept is there. So the human concepts that we have, including the real pain, is a reflection of the spiritual world. The concept is there. And the concept, like everything else of Vrindavan, facilitates the lila, the ecstasy of Krishna. So the gopis express that. Yate charam bhuja, sujata charam bhuja. And then the last verse of the Gopi Gita, they express this. So, and Krishna has made them. He's run from their sight to hear of their love for him, and he hears the extreme amount of love that they have for him. He's invited them out for the rasa dance, for example, and then he runs away, and rather than and all they're doing is expressing their love for him and fear that he's going to be hurt. But there's no question of Krishna. His body is, you can say it's as strong as the thunderbolt. It's made out of spiritual ecstasy, eternal bliss. It can't be pierced. It's the inside, same inside and outside. No blood, no veins, no big bulging muscles, like he's been working out in the gym. No. Just all powerful Supreme Lord. No pain. Only ecstasy. Everything. If there's heat, if there's cold, if there's thorns, it just serves to facilitate the ecstasy that Krishna experiences. Is there pizza there, though? Yes. Yeah, but in the, what's motivating that, like the sadness is like on the ocean of their love, the sadness is a wave coming up of love. Vyabhachari Bhav or a Sattvika Bhav or a Anubhav. It is just, it's a symptom of their love. It's a manifestation, an emotional manifestation, or a physical, in the case of Sattvika Bhav, is a physical manifestation of their love. It's an intense manifestation of the love. So what Krishna does, he'll do things, he'll act in such a way that will elicit the seeming sadness, but it just gives, just, he's playing with their ecstasies, just eliciting their ecstasies. So this is what's going on in the spiritual world. Krishna is acting in such a way that different varieties of their ecstasies, different waves, there's different waves being moved around in the bhakti rasamrita sindhu. This is what's going on in the spiritual world. Hard to conceive? Of course. Here we are in the land of sticky thorns and yeah. The spiritual world is something like this clock. The time is eternal. There's no past, present, or future. It's always. Yes. These do. That's a special kind of fragrant lotus. In the Mahabharata, they're described also. That when from heaven, heavenly realms, that once when the Pandavas were in the Bhadrikashram, this incredible fragrance came floating down to the Pandavas, and there was 100-petaled, famous as 100-petaled lotus flower. So Bhima saw that, or Draupadi saw that, and she said, "I will present this to Maharaj Yudhisthira." And then she said, "Bhima, could you get me some more? I would like to take this back to our ashram in Kamyakanya," whatever it was. And then Bhima said, "Yes," and he went charging up to the heavenly planets, the heaven through the higher mountains, not Kailash, but he went charging up past where humans are supposed to go, and he saw Hanuman there, his brother, and then he finally got to the place where it was Kailash, wasn't it? It was, and he went to Manasarov, and there was Kuvera, the guardians of Kuvera, and there were so many Yaksha soldiers there, and they said to Bhima, "You can't take these. You have to ask Kuvera for permission." And he said, "I am a Kshatriya. I don't beg from anyone." And then they said, "We're going to kill you." And they said, "Go ahead, try." So after Bhima killed all the Yakshas, then he took all the lotuses and brought them down. Anyway, it's quite an interesting pastime. Yes, so this is special kind. That's a special kind of a specially fragrant lotus. Yes. The calves. It sounded like from one of the comments he couldn't keep them away, so they also came. But exactly how that worked, and their cows and their mothers also came. That's what one of the commentators said. No, calves or cows?
Cows, if you're building that.
Yeah.
And before that, when you're serving the cows, where do you take them?
Close by. Because they were, at that time, they were first in Gokul, and then they were in Chatikara, and then they would go to Raman Raitavya. So this is some, it's not clear exactly when this takes place, whether Krishna is in Nandagaon or in Chatikara. Not clear. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.